We're continuing part two of our brainstorming series, and I'm excited as we're going to continue to march forward on today. Mark chapter 4 and verse 35, it says, as evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, let's cross to the other side of the lake. So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving crowds behind, although other boats followed. But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of that boat with his head on a cushion. The disciples woke him up shouting, teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown? And when Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, silence, be still. And suddenly, somebody say and type in suddenly. Suddenly, the wind stopped, and there was a great calm. In verse 40, then he, being Jesus, asked them, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? I'm reminded of the rhythm and blues male small choir, New Edition, who said, on a perfect day, I know that I can count on you. But when that's not possible, tell me, can you weather the storm? He said, because I need somebody who will stand by me through the good times and bad times. She will always, always be right there. And if you could help me sing this part, sunny days, what? Everybody loves them. But tell me, baby, can you stand the rain? Because storms will come. But why? This we know for sure. But can you stand the rain? Hey. I believe that that is the Lord to us. You're with me when it's good. You're with me when everything is right. But what happens when the storms come? What happens when the rain comes? Will you stick beside me? Will you stay with me? Will you hold on to my word? And as we saw in last week, this storm that took place was after Jesus had spent intentional time teaching them about what we call the parable of the soil, or what most people call the parable of the sower. And I want to look at today, why is it that when storms come, sometimes we all don't do what we know we should be doing? The title of today's message is simply, can you stand the rain? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are so gracious, so wonderful. I submit this time to you. I pray for the soil of our hearts. As we share your word, may we hear and receive your word and think about the ways that we can apply it in our lives. Father, there are so many storms that can arise from time to time, but I thank you for your faithfulness to never leave and to never forsake us. It's in Jesus' name. Everyone says, amen. Amen. All right, we're going to spend a lot of time today in Mark chapter 4. And on last week, I kind of want to do a little recapping here. When you think soil, I want you to think soul. So when you think soil, I want you to think soul. And on last week, I described why I'm calling this the parable of the soil rather than the parable of the sower. Because this parable that we're looking at in Mark chapter 4 talks in more detail about the various conditions of the soul that impact our ability to believe God at face value and walk in the fullness of what the word says. And so in Mark chapter 4, starting in verse 1, it says, "Once again, Jesus began teaching by the lakeshore. A very large crowd soon gathered around him, so he got into a boat. Then he sat in the boat while all the people remained on the shore. He taught them by telling many stories in the form of parables, such as this one. Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seed, and he scattered it across his field. Some of the seed fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate it. Other seed fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seed sprouted quickly, but because the soil was shallow, But the plant soon wilted under the hot sun, and since it didn't have deep roots, it died. Other seed fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plant, so they produced no grain. Still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they sprouted, grew, and produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. And then he said, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand." And so to do a quick recap before we delve into the four different types of soils or the four conditions of the soil, I want to first define what our soul is. And so our soul is commonly known as our mind, which houses our thoughts, our imaginations, our will, which also refers to our heart, if you see that in the Word of God, your heart, and our emotions or our feelings. The Hebrew and Greek words for soul can often be translated as your life or the quality of life, meaning the condition of your soul determines the quality of your life. And so just as the human spirit responds to contact from God and the spirit realm, our human soul, our mind, our will, and our emotions responds to contact or stimuli from this natural world around us. And so there are three foundational truths that we established on last week, that you are a three-part being. You are a spirit who possesses a soul, a mind, a will, and emotions, and you live in a physical body. All the components to you must be in alignment in order for you to maximize your calling and your purpose here on this earth. The second foundational truth is that the Word of God is the only tool, someone say only tool, only tool that's able to separate what is my soul, which is my mind, my will, and my emotions, versus what is my spirit. And last week I had some fun just sharing that sometimes we say God told me when it had nothing to do with God, and then that might have been something that you ate the night before. And so the only way that you can determine, did I really hear this from God? Is this really God speaking to me? Is does what I'm hearing and what I'm saying line up with the context of his word? I just feel led to sit right here just for a second, because you got a lot of folks acting like they're hearing from God and don't line up to this at all. And so the way that you can help to decipher, because people will use the Spirit told me as a form of manipulation. And you have to know if somebody is manipulating you or if someone is actually hearing from the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. So, man, I feel led to sit right here. Okay. So even in your own house, before you start toting around, God said, I believe the Lord's telling me, so on and so forth. Before you start just saying those things all the time, prove it out first. The way you prove it out is just simply by saying, I feel strongly about. And over time, you will begin to build credibility. You will begin to know between what is your voice and what is the Lord's voice speaking to you. And you won't cause those who are under the roof of your house to grow dull to the word of God speaking to them. It's almost like the boy who cried wolf. So I remember early on in my marriage, when I sensed that God was leading me in a particular direction with our household, I had a mentor tell me, hey, you don't need to be saying, God told me, God told me, God told me, God told me, when you first start off. Say, I feel strongly, prove it out. And so that was, 14 years ago. Now, when I say, I believe the Lord told me, it's an understood thing with my wife and I that, okay, he's hearing right now from the Lord. Because the worst thing you could do is say, the Lord told me, and then come back and say, well, I think the Lord changed his mind. And God changes not. If the Lord said it, it's going to happen. It is a done deal. It doesn't modify. It doesn't adjust to circumstance. It doesn't adjust to how people respond. It is thus says the Lord. So just that's just free game that I'm passing out to you all right now. But don't just quit. Stop. If you out here saying, the spirit, you need to decipher which spirit that is. Because every spirit ain't holy. I'm going to leave it alone. No, I'm not. Spirituality is not the same as the Spirit of God. Okay? And so what we have are familiar spirits who are able to entertain your sense realm, the five senses. Okay? So they can make it look good. They can make it sound good. They can make it feel good. But that's temporary. When the Spirit of God speaks, often he tells you his word before you see, feel, or hear naturally anything that looks like it. That's how you know it's God. Another way you know that it's God speaking to you is if it's something he's asking you to do that you know you should do and you don't want to do it. That's how you know. That is God speaking. And when I say speaking, I actually need to be more specific. Him leading you. Don't search for voices. Satan can accommodate voice because you're looking for something natural. Search for peace. Satan can't give you peace. And so you know God is leading you when you have peace before it makes sense. So go for the leading. Amen. Because people can make you do things you don't want to do in the name of God. And then when it doesn't work out, you blame God, but they got what they were going to get. All right, let me go on. Quit meddling. Number three, the other third foundational truth is that you know in your spirit and you believe in your soul. So let's go to unlock the parable of the soil in Mark chapter 4, verse 10. So go to Mark chapter 4 and verse 10, that verse right underneath you. Also look in the YouVersion Bible app. Search the Outlet Community Church at Briarcliff. You will see all of my notes. I have put way more notes inside of the Bible app because of the importance and the magnitude of what we're sharing. I can only put so much on the screens because then, you know, everybody wouldn't be able to see all the notes here. So you'll get more inside of the Bible app. You can save them, copy them. You can go back over them after today. All right, Mark chapter 4 and verse 10. So after Jesus said what he said in verses 1 through 9, it says, later when Jesus was alone with the 12 disciples and with others who were gathered around, they asked him what the parables meant. It is okay to ask God, what does this mean? Verse 13 and 14, here we go. Then Jesus said to them, if you can't understand the meaning of this parable, what we just read in verses 1 through 9, how will you understand all other parables? So the principles that we're going to be discussing over the next 2 weeks unlock everything you read in the Word of God. That's powerful. That's wonderful. That's, to me, an accelerant to spiritual growth and development. Verse 14, the farmer plants seed, by taking God's word to others. The first thing I want you all to notice is that the word of God is the seed from God. All right? Hallelujah. Man. If you were at a particular gardening store and there was a bag of seed in a particular aisle, and it was a particular fruit that you were looking to grow and to have in your own home and in your own life, are you upset about going to the store and picking up the bag of seed and not having the fruit when you walk out the door? No, because you understand that I am picking up seed, and therefore it is my responsibility to take the seed home and work with it until the fruit is produced. Too often in church, we have tried to use God as a get-rich-quick scheme. And we've tried to use the laws and principles of this word outside of what he actually said this word was meant to be. He said, this book of the law that shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein both day and night. That book of the law is a book of seeds. Some assembly required. You know, I've been to places like IKEA and other furniture stores, and when I went to the store, I was encouraged by the finished product that I saw. So I went ahead early on and was buying articles of furniture, hoping they would somehow load that finished product into my car so I could take it home, squeeze it through the door, and just plop right inside of my house. But more times than not, I have a picture of a finished product, and they give me a box with some instructions on what it takes for me to go home and build what I saw. And for whatever reason, with the Word of God, God gives us a vision. God shares with you a dream, or he gives you a plan. And you just think you're going to pray for 30 minutes, and it's just going to plop down right in front of your face. And it's going to be everything that you always thought. No, you get the picture. God gives you the seed. You've got to work the seed until the final picture is alive in your own life. Because one thing about the seed of the Word of God, although it is a seed for all, it's a seed customized to you. If you've seen it, it's too small for what God wants to do in your life. Because I was reading in Ephesians 3 and 20, where it said, now to him who's able to do exceeding abundant, not abundantly above. He said, I'm able to exceed abundance above all that you could ask or think. So if I could see it, it's too small. So I've got to take it home and I've got to work it. But if I don't work it, I won't see it. It's not that the seed doesn't work. It's I was too lazy to cultivate it. So some of the biggest prayers of your life take time to manifest. And you've got to be okay with that. The bigger the request, sometimes the longer the manifestation. So the seed is the Word of God. And I asked just a general question, like, what do seeds need in order to effectively grow? And so seeds need, some of the elements that seeds need are water, which typifies the Holy Spirit, so a relationship with Holy Spirit. Man, just so much. I was listening to a gentleman talk about the playbook. You know, a lot of times we call the Bible the playbook. And this gentleman was describing that he was talking with a professional athlete who wanted to know more about his playbook illustration. And the professional athlete said, the important part is not the playbook. The important part is your relationship with the head coach. Because the head coach put his thoughts into the book. And when you know the coach, you know what situation to run which play. Because if you try to have a relationship with the playbook without the coach, you'll end up running something that's out of season. So we got to spend time not only in reading word, spending time learning how to lead and follow the leading of the Holy Ghost. But Jesus here is going to show us, after all I just said, he's going to help us identify where are we breaking down in receiving the word of God, which Peter calls the incorruptible seed. Meaning, the reason for you not receiving is not because something didn't work in the word. So Jesus now is going to help us identify in our life, in various areas, where is the breakdown. And so there are four conditions of the soul that we've seen in verses 1 through 9, and we're going to explicate in verses 15 through 20. And I'm going to give you those four because I don't know if I'm going to get to those four, depending on how y'all pull me out here. But I want to give you the four just in case you happen to have something come up and you can't make it back next week, although I believe you will. I want you to have the four conditions of the soul. So the first condition is you have the footpath soul. You then have the rocky soul. You then have the thorny soul. And then you have the good soul. So there's footpath, rocky, thorny, good. Footpath, rocky, thorny, good. Footpath, rocky, thorny, good. All right? When I used to read this scripture, I would try to give myself a cumulative score to see holistically which category do I find myself in. But the revelation that I saw from this text is we in our lives operate in all four of those conditions in different places. In some places, we're footpath in our lives. We have a footpath soul. We have a footpath mindset. In other places, we have a rocky mindset. We have a rocky soul. In other places in our life, we're thorny, prickly. Don't touch me. I ain't ready to talk about it. You know, we're thorny. We're just not the best. And then there are places in your life where you're really good at hearing the word, doing the word, and having mastery. I believe God's ultimate goal for us is to, in all areas of our life, be in a place where we have a good, healthy, fertile soul, mind, will, and emotions. And here's the beauty, you all. We're going to spend the rest of our lives getting there. Because the more you grow in your relationship with God, the more you give him permission to show you areas you weren't willing to deal with. The more you grow in God's love for you, he's able to tell you the hard truths that would have devastated you had he told you when you first were born again. And so that's why all of us have a path of maturation that does not stop. This is why it's important for us to daily do boring habits of reading the word and quiet time each day. Some of us need to learn how to live a more boring life. Hopefully, the older you get, the more boring you desire to be, because living on the edge is the ghetto. Like, listen. Get boring. Get some good habits. Get some good routines, because that will produce in your life. So let's first start on the footpath soul in verse 15 of Mark chapter 4. It says, the seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message. And I want you to notice this one. Only to have Satan come when? At once. Y'all ever got into a fight with your spouse like in the car after church? Just me. Okay, that's fine. You ever say, I am going to give my life, I am going to commit to this, I've been doing good in this area, only to find in less than 24 hours you are back like you never left. Says Satan comes at once. You make a commitment to God to trust him with all of your heart. You are going to be presented with an opportunity not to. Immediately. So we are not ignorant of Satan's devices. So if we're not ignorant, and the word devices is his strategy, his game plan. If I'm not ignorant that this is happening, when it shows up, I'm like, you forecasted your hand. I got it. So instead of getting flustered when challenges arise, we say, all right, this is all a part of his tactic to come immediately for what? The seed. He comes to take it away. We can look as early as the creation story in the Garden of Eden. Satan came immediately to get them out of paradise or what God said or his prescribed plan for their life. But I'm so grateful that we have a model of Jesus who, when Satan came immediately after Jesus was baptized in the wilderness, Jesus showed us that when Satan comes immediately, keep reapplying the water of the Word of God on that seed when he's constantly bombarding you. So characteristics of the footpath, or in other translations, the King James, New King James, they call it the wayside. So this is seed that was sown by the wayside, was located immediately adjacent to the footpath and the paths that people traveled and brought their livestock over. But it wasn't far enough inland where it could develop good root system. And so it wasn't where everybody else was, but it wasn't fully where it needed to be. It was right in the middle. The key word here is indifferent. Not intentional, indifferent. So in your life, are there areas where you know there's the Word of God concerning, but I haven't really made an intentional plan to address it, so I'm kind of like, we'll see. It also means maintaining a middle ground between relying on God or relying on self or any other means that you have that are not God. That's what it means to have a footpath soul. So I want you to take some inventory. Where in your life are you indifferent at? Where are you neither hot nor cold? Not necessarily passionate, but not necessarily against. I'm just, we'll see. The next soul we want to look at is the rocky soil, verse 16. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. Ooh-wee, wasn't word good today. We had us a good time in the house of the Lord. But that's it. So you don't take it home. You don't listen to it. You don't hit replay. You don't hit pause. You don't take notes in one ear, out the other. Because why? I'll be back. We'll get some more. What did the pastor talk about? The Lord. You know, we don't know. Verse 17, it says, but since they don't have deep roots, from the South, you understand there are roots and then there are roots. Not a good root system. It's not going to last long. So you were inspired. You left the conference inspired. You bought all the books. You gave them all your money. You didn't do any of it. And before you know it, that inspiration gets completely squashed when temptation arises. And so they fall away as soon as a problem shows up or are persecuted for believing God's word. Rocky soil described much of Galilee, so they were very familiar with what he was describing. It represents the excitement to begin something new, but without the root system fortified to make sure that we could see it to completion. On one hand, there's a lack of strategic planning, but on the other hand, there's a lack of forward thinking. Now, rocky soil represents those who want to look good on the surface, but are missing the patient endurance necessary to keep doing the deep heart work to actually be good for the long haul. So I'm doing just enough to get by. I showed up to church. I clicked on the live. I'm here. Give me some credit. But am I a student? Am I applying myself? Am I intentionally searching for iron sharpens iron community to develop the root system? How do we develop the root system in community? Because it's when you get around somebody that's not you that you have to learn how to exercise good people skills and manners. And without it, as soon as problems come, as soon as tests come, we let go of the word that's within us. Let's go look at the thorny soul. In verse 18, it says, the seed that fell among the thorns represents others who hear God's word, but all too quickly, the message is crowded out by worries of this life, by the lure of wealth, and the desire for other things. So fruit is not produced. Let me describe this here. You're listening to me right now, but you're having a hard time concentrating on what I'm saying because of everything that's going on in your life. Now, sometimes it's a situation where there's a choice that you have to make, but other times this is where professional support comes in to help calm our racing minds. Because it's hard for us to concentrate on what we're hearing because I'm already into Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I'm already into my grocery list. You know what I'm saying? And so it pushes out what you're hearing. The next thing I wanted to look at, so it's worries. You're worried about what's next. Or the lure of wealth. Like, when is this going to be done? Because I got things I got to do. Lord, you want me to spend time doing what? My time is money. But this last one actually hit me directly in the core this week. It said, and the desire for other things. I want you all to notice what the scripture in verse 19 did not say. The desire for bad things. It didn't say that. So this also means this longing to do things that are even good but are not relevant to the present moment. Often we relegate the desire, the word in the King James is the lust of other things. When you hear lust, like, oh yeah, I know, it's about the sex. No, it's not, it had nothing to do with me. But it's talking about this ordinary desire to move on to what's next. And even in good things, that can crowd out what God is trying to do right now. It's about living here in this moment. When it comes to the thorny soul or the thorns, lazy farmers would often trim the top of the thorny weeds on the ground, but never dealt with what was beneath the surface causing the soil to produce the thorns in the first place. Given enough time and the right set of circumstances, the thorns returned in all of their strength. What does that mean? I am so ready to lose this last few pounds that I'm going to do this crash diet where all I'm eating is air and ice cubes for the next 40 days. But as soon as I get too stressed out in hour number 4 of my new crash diet, I'm going right back to Wendy's 4 for 4. I'm going right back to the behaviors that are going on within. What Jesus is saying is, instead of doing all of these crash diets and all of these crazy things. Find out why you do what you do. And do the hard work at the root there. Instead, I'm cutting everybody off. My block game too strong. This year, I'm cutting out all the dead weight. Find out why you're responding like that to begin with. Who hurts you? Why are you having a hard time forgiving? Why do you have a hard time receiving what God wants to do? Why are you self-sabotaging what God is bringing in your life? Where did that start? Because you can look good on the outside, but be devastated from within. And God says, I need you to deal and do the deep heart work so that you don't just look good, but you can be good. So the final soil, I'm sure you all want to know now. So how do we cultivate now the good, the fertile soil that can help us to produce 30, 60, and 100-fold? Come back next week. Stand to your feet.